Dr. Huddis's mini-presentation focused on another issue of great debate and alluded to during the discussion of the second case, the optimal adjuvant cytotoxic regimen in patients with node-positive disease.
The real question for the moment is the taxanes and how best to integrate them. And this all starts, of course, with CMF, which has been tested and tested and tested and forms the foundation of adjuvant chemotherapy. AC times 4 has never beaten CMF, but has been accepted as a standard largely because of the impact of large cooperative research groups like the NSABP and others. Based on that as a standard, the goal was to improve upon AC. In the CLGB, Craig Henderson led a trial that attempted to do this in two ways. One was by testing dose escalation of doxorubicin, and then later in the study design period, the data regarding taxanes became available, so paclitaxel by random assignment was grafted onto a study of dose escalation of doxorubicin. The result is well known to you. There's no benefit to the escalation of doxorubicin. Incidentally, again, this is being explored retrospectively with correlative science to try and determine whether there are any predictors of benefit, but time will tell. In terms of paclitaxel, at the first presentation at ASCO, and then subsequently with long follow-up, there was a statistically significant improvement in both disease-free and overall survival. This was, in large part, corroborated by a very similar trial from the NSABP, another 3,000 patients, standard AC, slightly higher dose paclitaxel versus not. Some subtle differences. Tamoxifen was given concurrent with the chemotherapy rather than after. It was given to everybody over age 50 or younger patients if they were ER positive. There was an interaction of tamoxifen effect and paclitaxel benefit tested, and in fact, they didn't see one. They had interim analyses, and they presented the interim analysis at 250 deaths at the NIH consensus conference, at which time the trial was labeled prematurely negative. The definitive analysis in this trial, unlike the intergroup trial, was driven by deaths, not by disease-free survival events, and that's why it took much longer to see the results of this trial. And when it was presented, there was a statistically significant improvement in disease-free survival. There was no difference in overall survival. If you are an optimist, you'd squint and say there might yet be some difference, but time will tell. The subtle point here is compared to the CLGB trial, which had a lot of ER-positive patients, this trial had more ER-positive patients, and that may diminish the impact. And again, there's the issue of the timing of the tamoxifen. In contrast to that, there is the TAC-FAC study that John covered briefly a moment ago, BCRG-001, that's now been published in the New England Journal. And while this is presented as a different kind of study, it's a powerful argument for the taxanes in general and docetaxel in particular, because it is no less than AC times 4. It's actually AC times 6 with additional drugs added, 5-FU on the one hand or docetaxel on the other. So it really stands up as a complementary study, and it was resoundingly positive both in disease-free and in overall survival. So this sort of begins to raise the question, of course, about which regimen, which style of administration, which taxane. Last year at San Antonio, we saw the results of the PAX-01 trial, and this is a trial that addresses one of the perceived weaknesses of the 9344 and B28 design, which was this. Some have argued that they're not tests of paclitaxel or a taxane at all, but rather a test of 8 cycles of therapy versus 4. And if that's your position, then you have to grapple a little bit with this, because here, 6 cycles of a very reasonable anthracycline regimen, FEC, were compared to 6 cycles of therapy replacing an active treatment with docetaxel. So this is 3 cycles of docetaxel in place of 3 of FEC. All else being equal, imagine for a moment that the study I'm about to show you was flat out negative. You would nevertheless possibly prefer the taxane-containing regimen because it would diminish the leukemogenesis of the anthracycline and it would diminish the long-term cardiac risk of the anthracycline. So it's an interesting design from that point of view as well. The bottom line was, overall, there was a statistically significant improvement in both disease-free and overall survival, and this was something that I think argued strongly that the docetaxel results in TAC, for example, are real, and that the way you give the taxane specifically may not matter as long as you give it. So then we run into a little bit of trouble. The preoperative chemotherapy trial from the NSABP, B27, it's AC and then surgery. AC and then surgery and then docetaxel at the full dose of 100 per meter squared, or all 8 doses of chemotherapy, then surgery. For in-breast response, these two arms were combined and presented by Harry Baer first and then published in the JCO. And what you see is that if you gave more therapy preoperatively, you had a higher clinical response rate, that's great, and a higher pathologic complete response rate. And to the degree that we could use the preoperative setting to short-track the development of adjuvant therapy, this would be very exciting, because our dream would be use the in-breast response to pick the best regimen for adjuvant use. The dilemma that we have to grapple with is that as planned and analyzed, this trial shows no difference across the three arms when you look at disease-free and overall survival. There's a lot of explanation for this. I personally don't believe that it's really a negative study, meaning the study's negative. I don't believe that the docetaxel didn't work here. I think it's the vagaries of small numbers and inadequate numbers of events for a small difference to be seen. This trial is much smaller, frankly, than the other taxane randomized trials. But it is sobering because it says that even a robust difference, a doubling in pathologic CR rate, doesn't necessarily allow you to see a very small difference in overall survival or disease-free survival. Said another way, a pathologic CR rate that's dramatically increased can translate into a very small difference in what you really care about, which is disease-free and overall survival. So when you start to think about the taxanes, you have to fundamentally put them up against each other. And this is a complex issue, and it's been made more complex lately by the presence of nanoparticle albumin-bound paclitaxel, a drug which we're not talking about in the adjuvant setting all that much, although there may be some whispers. A head-to-head trial of docetaxel versus conventional paclitaxel at 175 per meter squared every 3 weeks as a three-hour infusion was conducted by a multi-center group. And what they demonstrated was that although docetaxel looked a little more active with a numerically higher response rate, it didn't make its primary endpoint for superiority. However, it clearly made a secondary endpoint for superiority, which was progression-free and overall survival. And while it was a little more toxic, if you're going to improve survival and progression-free survival, it may well be worth it. The problem is making a blanket statement about a better taxane is complicated by the fact that multiple studies have now shown that with a taxane you can beat 175 Q3 of paclitaxel. In addition to the docetaxel trial, TAC-311 I just discussed, you can beat it with weekly paclitaxel. That's what Andy Seidman showed with CLGB9840. You can beat it with nanoparticle albumin-bound paclitaxel at 260 per meter squared every third week. So the notion of a single taxane as better or worse is sort of undermined. Instead, you have to think that there are ways to give the taxanes, and many of these ways may allow you to beat what is considered the standard. So with that as background, we come back to a very recent presentation by Joe Sperano at San Antonio of ECOG 1199. Now, this was a 2x2 factorially designed study with over 5,000 patients. The majority were node positive, but a sizable minority were node negative. And these patients were randomized to AC paclitaxel or docetaxel, low dose weekly or higher dose Q3. This study's been finished for years and has been followed, and it, truth be told, this study to this day has not acquired the number of events that were initially planned for analysis. It's been reported now because, and as I understand it, per the DSMB, this study has passed a futility bar, which is to say, even though they don't have enough events to trigger the formal analysis, there is no chance that with enough events they would find a statistically significant difference, and therefore there's no point holding back on this data. And based on that, Joe presented the data at San Antonio. So first, it's flat out negative. There are no statistically significant differences here. So fundamentally, the drug that you thought was best sort of falls out in the middle, half between weekly paclitaxel and Q3 paclitaxel. So if you look at the number of disease-free survival events and you see the number of patients, it's really pretty much equal. The more clear-cut difference, at least for paclitaxel, emerges in an unplanned subset analysis by ER status, with the weekly looking better than the Q3 and the docetaxel again in between. But you cannot walk away from this trial with anything, I think, but a shrug of the shoulders and the conclusion that how you give the taxane and which taxane you give in a sequential plan in the adjuvant setting from an efficacy point of view probably doesn't matter a whole lot. So if that's the case, of course, either you're at a dead end or you continue to explore other ways of improving systemic therapy. And certainly the way that we've been interested in, and both at Memorial and through the CLGB, is through the dose-dense scheduling approach. I'm not going to go through the background today. I'm just going to remind you of the study and show you the updated results. This is a study that looked at concurrent AC versus sequential single agents. And, of course, paclitaxel was always given alone. Every patient got the same dose and total number of cycles of each of the three drugs. The dose-dense arm required G-CSF support. The standard arm allowed it but didn't require it. 15% of these patients got G-CSF in response typically to a first-cycle neutropenic fever event or neutropenic event. But 100% of these patients did. It's not a four-arm trial. It's a 2x2 factorial. This factorial, AC together or A and then C apart, shows no difference when first analyzed per protocol 3 years ago and to this day shows no difference. So there's no magic in the combination. But Q2 therapy versus Q3, there remains to this day, as there always was, a statistically significant improvement in disease-free survival. For overall survival, there is a statistically significant improvement, although it is very close to non-significant. And if you live and die by p-values, then you can just wait a couple of weeks. It is very likely to continue to fluctuate right at this marginal significance line. The raw number of deaths prevented has actually gone up over time from when it was first reported. So it is unquestionable that there is an advantage for Q2-week therapy versus Q3 based on this trial. The bottom line for me is for a high-risk patient who qualifies for a taxane and an anthracycline, there is no single best regimen today, and you can't pretend to know the answer to this. B38 is the study that, from a practical point of view, will put this all to the test, and it is the standard TAC regimen, albeit with G-CSF support, which is really required with this trial, or dose-dense AC paclitaxel, again, of course, with G-CSF support. A third arm of this trial incorporates gemcitabine, but that's not part of standard practice in the adjuvant setting today, so I won't focus on that. What I want to remind you of is it takes equipoise to randomize patients on this trial. It takes equipoise to design this trial. So pushing anybody to stand before you and say there is one answer to this question right now is wrong. There is no single answer. You can make bets based on toxicity. You can make bets based on subset analyses if you wish. But to do that is to suggest that you know the answer to the study, and I would suggest that you don't. So taxanes clearly improve outcomes for high-risk disease. 9741 suggests that scheduling can improve old drugs, meaning anthracyclines and cyclophosphamide and paclitaxel. The bottom line is that supportive care facilitates improved outcomes because both the TAC regimen and dose-dense AC paclitaxel, the two standards right now, require growth factor support.